It's okay. It is all right. Y'all, I was praying about what to talk to you about in preparation for Easter. I started looking through the Gospels. They are a major source of information about Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Notice that each of them are written from very distinct points of view. All four men that wrote those Gospels, very distinct, very different in their makeup. Kind of like all of us go see a movie, then we have to write about it. None of them are going to be exactly the same. The movie will be the same, but our views of it will be different. And they concentrate, each of them, on little different aspects of Jesus in his life and his earthly ministry. And I kept reading through Scripture, and I started noticing four distinct roles that Jesus had. And I realized we couldn't talk about all these four distinct parts in one Sunday. So this is going to be a four-part series leading up to Easter. And today, we're going to talk about Jesus the teacher. Who had a teacher, whether it was at school or at work or in life, that positively impacted them? All of us. One way or another, we have been positively impacted by people that have taught us. Jesus was probably one of the greatest teachers that ever lived. And a teacher doesn't have to have a teaching degree, but just a heart to help others in order to improve themselves. William Ward, an American writer and educator, said that the mediocre teacher tells, the good teacher explains, the superior teacher demonstrates, the great teacher inspires. And Jesus inspired us. From the very start of his ministry until the present time, those who have listened to Jesus have been amazed by his teaching. From the preeminent people of their time in Jerusalem to now. When he spoke, he attracted large crowds of people who were just hung on every word. And on more than one occasion, they were just caught up in listening to him that they even forgot to go home to eat. There are times that led to miracles where he actually had to break apart the bread, break apart the fish, and feed the thousands. It was because people came out to listen to him in the middle of the wilderness. And they got so caught up on his teaching. Jesus knew the needs of his people. This scripture we're going to look at, Matthew 5, 1 through 16. In the first couple of verses, talked about when Jesus saw the crowds, he went to the mountain. And then he sat down, and his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and started to talk. This was a common position for a teacher at that point in time in Greece and in the Middle East. They would sit down, and the crowd would stand. Jesus had no formal training, but people were just drawn to him. What those people were about to hear when he opened his mouth was life-changing. The words Jesus was about to say have resonated over 2,000 years. It has long been considered the sum of Jesus' teaching in these 16 verses. It was a Sermon on the Mount. Jesus tells us how to live. Radically different than anything that had ever been presented at that point in time. Also, people at this point in time had a different understanding of the Messiah. There was very common belief in Israel, in Palestine at the time, that the Messiah was going to be a military figure that would come in and smash the Romans and restore Israel. But that's not who. But Jesus came here for spiritual freedom, for spiritual implications that are expressed in all these rules. Jewish historians said in the first century, there was little agreement among the Jews as to what the Messianic kingdom would be like. One very popular assumption would be that the Roman yoke would be shattered and there would be political peace and mounting prosperity. No one was expecting Jesus to say what he was about to, neither was his disciples. there were people that he had gathered, but he hadn't really told them what his message actually was. And his message that he's delivering here was passed on through his disciples, each one spreading Christianity through different areas of the world. St. Thomas in India, Matthew, Northern Africa, they were all over. It started from right here. This was his strength as a teacher. Verses 3 and 4. A good teacher knows his students. Jesus knew what had happened. By the time Jesus was born and came along, Israel hadn't existed for over 600 years. Each conqueror had gotten worse than the last. The Babylonians were conquered by the Persians, Persians by Alexander the Great, the descendants of Alexander by the Romans. Anyone ever wondered why the Israelite, why the Jews hated the Romans so much worse than any of the rest of them? When Rome conquered Jerusalem, there was a standing temple. It was the temple, I think, of Nehemiah at that time, and that he had built. Roman commander went into the Holy of Holies, the inner room in the temple. Only one person, one cleansed priest, could go into one time a year. Roman, it's been that way since Moses' time. The tabernacle, the tent that they carried around with them, same concept. They had, the Roman commander went into this place. It was a sin against God, a direct sin against God, and carried an unclean animal, a pig, which was special to Zeus, and sacrificed it in this area. It was a sin that just cannot be forgiven or forgotten. So they despised the Romans. They had anger. They were broken in spirit. They'd lost their identity, who they were. They were a people of God. They'd been promised Israel, and they lost it. They were angry at these outrages that was committed generations ago. They mourned the loss of their identity, who they were. Had anger towards these invaders who were intent on changing them, who ridiculed what they had been brought up as believing was right. The Romans, along with the scribes and the Pharisees and the tax collectors, taxed and charged the people for so many things, keeping them in a perpetual state of poverty. Some of these factors sound really familiar, even to today. Jesus knew what was in the hearts of his people. He knew what they wanted to hear, but he also knew what they needed to hear. In verses 3 and 4, Jesus mentioned the kingdom of heaven and comfort. Jesus knew that this was what his people needed. He knew that the only way they would get there is through him. Jesus didn't come to establish an earthly kingdom during his first visit. This will come in his second. But in that first visit, he came to establish the covenant, the kingdom of heaven, and a way for us to get there. A good teacher prepares us for what we're going to need to know. Another thing that is real specific that I didn't notice, I've read these verses I don't know how many times. Some of you may know I've taught in the past, I've had education classes. In verses 3 and 4, and throughout the Beatitudes, Jesus states a fact why we need to know it. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they should be comforted. There's a theory called the adult learning theory. It's only came around in the last 30, 40 years. And the adult learning theory, the basis for teaching adults is to give them a reason why they should learn. 2,000 years ago, Jesus was stating a fact and saying why we need to know it. I had a moment when I realized that this theory in the 70s, Jesus had been doing 2,100 years ago. What we need to know and why we need to know it. A good teacher knows the subject they're teaching and their hearts in the teaching. My mama fixes some of the best fried chicken you will ever eat. She taught me how to fry chicken. She also taught me how to make gravy. Chicken went well. Gravy, it's been a work in progress through the years. I can remember calling mama, and she taught me over the phone. You may remember this. You taught me over the phone my first successful batch of gravy. And it was back in the 90s. Had a cordless phone. I thought I was a big Ike. And I was sitting there. I got my chicken up. You would have thought I was handling plutonium. And when I started seeing that minor bubbling, it was an aha moment. And I've learned so much from Daddy and Mama, Robbie, other people in my life. They're really good at certain things. Most of us learn stuff like that from people, from those special people in our lives. We look at verses 5 through 8. Gentleness and righteousness and pure in heart and merciful. You think about those four qualities. Who is the very first person that pop in your mind about that? Jesus is one of the first people that would pop in my mind. A good teacher lives by what they teach. Jesus was a living example of this for the people around him. And in his life, which is recorded for us in the Gospels, he gave us examples of this. He came to earth. He was God in man form. He felt everything. Jesus knew that we would need to walk the road of a believer in order to have salvation. He knew it wouldn't be easy. It won't be. It's not easy to learn this. We are born with a sin nature. We're not born with a Christian nature. We have that little tiny piece of God in us that we're made in his image. But overwhelmingly, we have a sin nature that we work for the flesh. We will take whatever's easy for us. And I mean us, me included. It's an everyday struggle. But we look at these examples. Teacher, he knows his students. They know their subject. Their heart's in the teaching, and they live by it. As God, he could have sent a prophet like he did in the past. But as so many good teachers have done, he sacrificed a part of himself for his students. Verses 9 through 12. A good teacher knows what their students are going to be facing after them. When I was teaching nursing at Piedmont Tech, I knew the instructors that my students would have to go through and the classes they would have to take. And I tried to point these out. And I tried to build up extra to help prepare them for the classes they would have and the instructors that they would have. I knew they'd need to have an idea of what was to come, and it wasn't going to be easy. Jesus knew how the world was going to react to his teachings. Nothing like this had ever been seen. Nothing. People talk about Buddha, Jesus borrowed from him, and all. No, nothing like this had ever been seen. Jesus knew what the reaction of it would be. The Christians would be feared. They'd be ridiculed. They would be persecuted. And he tried to prepare them in these verses. Even now, Christian villages in Nigeria are being burnt to the ground. Their men and older boys are being killed. Everyone else is being sold into slavery as the media stays silent. There is a missionary, and him and his wife and family were from Kansas, shot to death, Cameroon, Africa. How did I hear about it? Looking around, it wasn't on the news. China, North Korea, Egypt, Christians are being persecuted all over the world. Jesus wanted his students to know in these verses what would be waiting on them at the finish line. This world is not an easy world. It is filled with sin and misery and sickness and evil. And it is a part of our lives. But this is not our world and this is not our ending. And Jesus was trying to tell us that in these verses. That it's going to be rough, but we can make it. And when we make it, there's no pain, there's no crying, and death has come to an end. Another thing that Jesus did that I thought was just amazing. 2,000 years ago, he was using successful teaching methods we're still using today. How many times have you ever heard me tell a story to try and get a point across? You're probably thinking too many, but but he used these analogies and the visual imagery in a way that is amazing. When Jesus talked about being the salt of the earth, how many people have an image in their mind of salt? How many people can learn things easier when they see a picture? All of Jesus' parables, the fig tree, the mustard seed, the city on the hill, imagery. Your mind transforms it into a picture. The picture makes sense to you. Jesus did that. Time before that, if you were trained, classically trained in religion, in scripture, you read and read and read and read. And the Old Testament, with its imagery, it was different. You just had to drill it. It was like a military drill. Jesus used imagery. He used the parables. When Jesus used the analogy of the salt to explain the value of the individual, salt wasn't just a spice in Palestine. Salt was actually used as currency sometimes. The basis for it was that salt was the only thing you could preserve meat with or fish. It was the only thing at that time. There was no refrigeration. And that salt had that value that's where the saying comes from, worth their salt. It was actually because it was used as currency and it was so valuable. A good teacher will remind us of what can happen if we don't do what we're supposed to. Day, I don't know if you remember this. You taught me how to jump a car battery off. He was very explicit. That black cable needs to go on there before everything else. At the time, I did not understand that sense of urgency. But since then, I've gotten a little grayer and a little wiser. But he let me know what would happen, that my whole electrical system could go kablooey if it's not properly grounded. In the verse about salt, verses 13, Jesus reminds us what can happen if we lose our way. That people can come to God and they can fall away. You look at Saul. Saul was chosen by God to be the first king of Israel. Solomon, wisest man that ever lived, both of them fell away. And we've all seen that. And anyone that's honest with themselves, it's an everyday struggle. It is. Some days are better than others. Some days we get the bear. Some days the bear gets us. But it's an everyday struggle to fall, to keep us from falling back. And Jesus wanted to let us know what happens if we do. And our walk with Jesus, everyday walk, prayer, some of the word. And Jesus realized that learning centered around acquiring knowledge, acquiring skills that'll help us. And whether or not learning's been accomplished or it can be seen is in the attitudes and knowledge of the students. And you look at how people reacted to this. The rest of Matthew, when Jesus went anywhere, he was crowded. Just tremendous numbers of people. Another sign of the effectiveness of his teaching. From these 3 years of Jesus' earthly ministry, those initial followers, I think 120 people at the time, right after his death, to billions and billions of people through his life up till now. His disciples created more disciples. Each generation produced Christians who produced more Christians. And it all started with that core group of disciples that were there on that hill that he taught. When we look at the life of Jesus, we think about the miracles. We think about his godly presence. Sometimes we forget his teaching, his actual teaching. Did the miracles bring us? Did the healing bring us? Or did his words bring us to where we're at right now? And Jesus, I hope we get more out of this than that Jesus was a great teacher. I hope that we'll put all our faith in Jesus and allow him to be our teacher. He still has so much to teach, and we still have so much to learn. And I'm hoping that we'll allow his teachings to make a practical and profound influence on our lives. Going to get everybody to stand with me. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to open up the altars. And if anyone has something on their heart, maybe there's something that for some reason you're just at a crossroads. Maybe you haven't taken Jesus into your heart. Maybe you have, but you've slid. If you were to die right now, where would you go? What would be said to you when you come before Jesus? Well done, good and faithful servant, or get away from me, I do not know you. And those are hard things. That's a hard thing to think about, but it's something we will all face one day. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. Father, let the words of these verses just sink into our hearts. When Jesus came to earth, he came to earth for so many things. And Father, one was to teach us a new way of living, a new way from what we were born with, a way separated from the sin that's in our hearts. Father, it runs against our nature. But it is possible with you every day to be closer and more like you. Father, let the words of these verses sink in and let your teachings sink into us. Father, fill us with the Holy Spirit and use us and work through us. And Father, if there's anyone here that has not accepted you as their Lord and Savior, we ask that you open up their hearts, Father. Come into it. And Father, turn their lives around. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.